because we need to give ourselves sufficient time to engage in the report. I would request that we observe just a moment of silent prayer and meditation before we proceed with the business of the day. Amen. Let me welcome you all to this meeting this morning, and we just hope that even though we don't have the usual number of honorable members to engage on the issues contained in your annual report, those that are present, as my co-chairperson said, would be equal to the task. We do understand that there is a lot happening these days. I am not going to be talking on those issues, but there is a lot happening. And we are very unfortunate this time around. Usually, you know that our honorable members in this particular committee, they honor their obligation of being present at meetings. It's just these days that we have a bit of a challenge in that regard. By way of apologies, I have a letter here written explaining that the minister would have been here, but she is apologizing that her mother is sick. She will not be able to join us. She will only be arriving here at Parliament maybe in the afternoon. So there is a letter of a formal apology, and we wish her mother speedy recovery. The other apology comes from the Deputy Minister of Basic Education, Honorable Suti. He is outside the country, representing the minister in Maputo in Mozambique. So he is not even within the country, that we understand. He is on duty wherever he is. We also have an apology from Chike Mamporu, is on leave, one of the honorable members on family responsibility leave. We also have a formal apology from Honorable Stock, who is on study leave. Those are the apologies formally that I have. Oh, Honorable Kaula is bereaved. He has lost a brother. He has sent an SMS to apologize for the meeting. Honorable Mushoji is in her province, I made her understand, doing some political work. And Honorable Ngema, I'm not sure whether she's going to be joining us later or not, but I haven't received any kind of formal apology. Those are the apologies that I had. And I think we are going to proceed with the meeting nonetheless, because you don't have the luxury of time to actually shift the meeting to any other day. It is the time of the year where we've got to engage the Department DG on your annual report that you've presented before the committee. We did get the copies in time. As is usually the case, we are doing this in terms of the legislation that governs our oversight responsibilities as the National Council of Provinces. And you understand that basic education or education is a concurrent function. There are issues where the provinces need to be answerable to the committee, but the overall responsibility rests with you. The buck stops at your door, DG, because you still need to exercise support and oversight over the performance of those provinces. I know that you may not interfere, but when things do not go right, everybody will raise their eyes to the national department. That is just how it is. And as you present your report to this committee, we've always insisted or emphasized that we do need to see a provincial perspective, because we are delegates from provinces, we represent our own provinces. Much as this is a national department, but you do want to have a feel of what is happening in the various provinces, which I suppose is contained in your presentation. But maybe as we deliberate, we do want to remark on the topical issues that are not pleasant, that we're hearing in the media. You could actually comment on those as well, Dishi. The issue of sexual abuse of learners, particularly in the Gauteng province, as well as in Limpopo and all the other provinces, where this kind of evil activity, abuse of learners, is taking place. And we do want to know what your department is doing to address those issues. The state of readiness in general for examination. We have conducted oversight with the time that was at our disposal, but we could not have done more than we were able to do. We could not get time to go out again to the provinces to check the state of readiness of examinations because of the tight program that we have. So on that one, we really will rely on you just to brief us on the state of readiness on examinations and the kind of outcome that we could possibly expect. The safety issues in schools, some of the sexual harassment are actually done by people that are supposed to be guarding the children, who conduct the checks, the pedophile register before a guard is employed in the school to look after the school property and children. What happens to the school principal who does not take action when a matter has been reported in her office? I know it's legal issues, but I just want to get the perspective of the department regarding those issues again. Burglaries and loss of even sponsored equipment in schools, the issue of school safety and security, issues and engagement of people that need to guard the schools, the learners and properties in those schools. And now coming back to the issue of the report, your department has got 5 programs, and we've given you a budget of 22.4 billion to run this program. And we've been able to spend 95% of the budget that we allocated. Under administration, we did observe, as you read the documentation that you give us, I'm not going to cite the reasons, you're going to give us the reasons of the issues that I'm raising insofar as the report is concerned. Under administration, which is your program one, you had set yourselves 3 targets and you achieved 2. And there is a negative deviation there, which you have recorded. And I think the target that you did not achieve has got something to do with grievances. You will explain. In program 2, you achieved 9 out of 14. And I think that is your service delivery program. It's a core program. In my own assessment, I might be wrong. And matters pertaining to training of teachers in CAPS, the training centers, the effectiveness of the training centers and the training of teachers in CAPS, carry code issues. You need to give us clarity on that one. It has always created some kind of confusion. You did budget for curriculum, but when it comes to the numbers that you train, you will explain to us what the challenge is. And also the issue of the second chance learners, what is happening there. And then when it comes to program 3, you set yourselves 8 targets and you achieved 6. Teacher assessments. Diagnostic assessment of teachers. Why is it that teachers are not attending these training sessions? And what is the view of the teacher unions in this regard? Particularly the training that pertains to subjects like mathematics and science. You get worried when teachers are actually not exposed to those very important training programs, because we want to keep improving the performance of the learners in those areas, and we need to improve the skill of the teachers before we can expect the learners to improve. And then in program 4, you achieved 5 targets out of 12. You'll explain to us the ACD program. The last I heard is that you were closing it down, and there was an issue of school infrastructure development or education infrastructure development. Those issues you'll explain to us nonetheless as to why is it that the target was not achieved, and relate it also to the rationalization of schools, because when we conducted oversight in the same case, for instance, we did take note of the fact that whilst the rationalization is not completed, another school is built, and possibilities existed that the school that is being built is not going to be occupied because maybe learners are going to be taken somewhere. But you'll give clarity to that if I am not accurate with my facts. The water issues, sanitation, and electricity. You fell short in those targets. And program 4 is one program where really most of the targets were not met. And then program 5, you'll explain to us where you did not reach a target, but it's only one. You achieved 3 out of 4 and matters relating to social cohesion and the programs or activities there were not fully met in terms of the target, and you've got an explanation there. Maybe on other issues relating to HR vacancies. In total, we read 57 vacancies, and I don't know why is it that they've not been filled. You'll explain to us. We've got 2 DDG vacancies, 10 chief directors, and 3 directors. You'll explain that as well to us. Labor issues, cases. If there is financial misconduct, what is the department doing in terms of addressing those issues? And if there are people that have to pay back the money, are they doing so? And in your recruitment, are you recruiting younger people to take positions at senior level so that they can learn from those that are there and be able to run with the department once some of you have actually gone to greener pastures or have come to join us in the chamber where we are sitting? So I will hand over to you, DG, to engage us, give us opening remarks, and then you'll do the presentation as you have arranged yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me also convey our condolences to Honorable Kaula for the tragic loss of his brother. And I hope that the Almighty will give him strength, peace, and wisdom during this difficult time of the bereavement. Chair, thank you very much also for your opening remarks. Your observations are spot on. But if you allow me just to single out one point out of your opening remarks and leave the rest for the responses that we'll be making when you, honorable members, and yourself, Chair, would be posing questions to us. I would like to single out the state of readiness for the 2017 National Senior Certificate Exams to indicate that our preparations usually focus on two aspects of the state of readiness. The first one is about learner readiness, which takes 12 years or even more. And then in the last year of the learners, we start heightening our support and our monitoring on what the system is doing to make sure that learners are prepared. That's the first aspect. And provinces have been working extremely hard. I have no doubt in my mind that as part of doing your oversight work, you did come across instances where learners were even attending classes during weekends. They were also attending classes during school holidays. We've gone out as the Department of Basic Education to plan, and to plan together with provinces. Dr. Mabuya is responsible for that. Mrs. Kyobeka is responsible for coordinating districts and provinces. They could share more information in the course of our engagement today. So we've all gone out to make sure that children are fully prepared for the end of the year exams for the National Senior Certificate. The second aspect is around state of readiness of the system. The system meaning the exam system. Mr. Padayaki is responsible for that. And together with his team, they've gone out, I think, twice this year, four times to provinces to evaluate the state of the marking centers, to even check whether the selection of markers has been done correctly, the facilities used for printing, are they located in a safe environment to avoid, you know, experiencing instances of paper leaks like it happened in the last 2 years in Limpopo. They've been working closely. They've, in fact, increased their working relationship with law enforcement agencies of the country. That involves SAPS. And this time around, we also thought that we must request for more assistance from the state information security services. So that's what we have done from the state of the system readiness. The National Senior Examination exams started on the 16th of October, and they started with a practical exam on computer application technology. I just wanted to give the figures. My gadget is failing me. But we started with CAT, Computer Application Technology, and the following day we then moved over to IT on the 17th. Those examinations went very well. And on Monday we wrote non-official languages And there was just a small glitch in, with a small paper in Hindi, and which the team has been able to manage. That was the third day on Monday, and yesterday was the biggest day because the majority of learners were writing, close to 700,000 learners out of 800,000 learners wrote yesterday, which included the writing of English first additional language. It's one of the big 11 subjects that we have in the system. So exams yesterday went on without major glitches throughout the country. We can see that the system has been tested. Today, learners will be writing accounting. I think the accounting paper is on as we speak, which is the fifth day of writing exams. So in brief, Chair, I can say so far the system is ready. It's a great pity that your committee is occupied with so much work and with very little time at your disposal. We have presented a comprehensive report to the Portfolio Committee on the state of readiness, including issues of school safety. We have also presented an extensive report. If you don't mind, we could share those reports with you, with your honorable members as well, because they are available. They have been presented to the other committee as well. Chair, if you allow, I think we could then proceed with the presentation of the annual report. It's a very big presentation, which we do not intend to go through it bullet by bullet, slide by slide. I must just plead for your indulgence that we just hit the punchline, just talk to the main points of the report, so that we allow for more time for questions, comments, and engagement. And if it is fine with you, the presentation is organized into three main parts. The first part deals with the overview of the service delivery environment and the context. And then the second part deals with the five programs that you refer to. How the five programs have performed, especially in areas of underperformance or partial performance, explaining reasons, which will cover some of the comments that you have made already, Chair. And then the last part will be the financial part of the presentation, the annual financial statements. And the first two parts will be handled by Ms. Montu, who is the director responsible for strategic planning. First and part A and part B, and then the last part will be done by the CFO if it is fine. All the branch heads are here, plus other managers, to respond to all the questions that will be coming from honorable members and your honorable self-chair. If you allow me, I could ask Ms. Montu to start taking us through the presentation.
She can. Certainly, we are not going to be going slide by slide, line by line. We are just going to be focusing on the critical issues that you need to inform us about. But also issues of the Auditor General, I think it will be covered by the CFO. Appreciating the fact that CFO, you got an unqualified audit, but there are issues that we are going to be raising from the report of the Auditor General. Monsu, you are ready. Okay,
thank you. thank you, Honourable Chair, and good morning as well to the Honourable Members. As the DJ has highlighted, I will be going on the critical, representing then the critical areas in terms of the presentation, and then I will then move them straight to the areas that I need to then emphasize on. As highlighted, as we are the Department of Basic Education, our mandate is focused on monitoring the responsibilities of the Minister of the Basic Education, as well as ensuring that there's formal relations between the national and the provincial authority. And then that highlights then to our DBE statutory role, which is then the formulation of policy norms and standards, as well as monitoring and evaluation policy implementation impacts, and then leading then to the provision then of the rights of the basic education. In terms of slide 6 on the performance delivery environment for 2016-17, the delivery environment is a model then in terms of the provision which requires that we focus on the technical leadership oversight and setting the maintenance of the norms and standards for the basic education, as well also concurrent functions, as well as focusing then on the factors that influence the plans and activities in terms of our plans, looking at our national development plan, our medium-term strategic framework, and our action plan for the sector. We're also focusing as well in terms of then our strategic outcome-oriented goals on how then we are instilling and implementing then our priority areas in terms of our medium-term strategic framework. The next slide is just an overview of our MTSF. As we know, it focuses on the quality teaching and learning. It focuses on the LTSM, on improving assessment, on expanding early childhood development, strengthening accountability and partnerships. In terms of then the key achievements, among some of them that we highlight is that we have managed to have 72 mathematics, science and technology schools that were visited and we monitored in terms of support in that regard. We've also managed to have Funza Lushaka budget allocations to the NESIP treasury in terms of the 1 million highlighted, and also the placement and the budget awarded in terms of 14,343. In which, as I reiterate more into the presentation, you will see the provincial breakdown. We've also had a total of 3.9 million grade hour workbooks that were printed and delivered to 16,523 public schools. The next slide on slide 9 is also just a reflection in terms of some of the trainings that were conducted and the participation of a total of 177,019 educators who signed and participated in a continuing teacher professional development, and also we've collaborated with the teacher union collaboration in terms of 19,616 teachers who were targeted then in terms of the training. The next slide, also what can be key is that we have managed to ensure that universal coverage of some of the learning and teacher support material, which is at 93% retention and retrieval then in terms of the LTSM, which is at 85%. As well as ensuring that a total of 296 physical science laboratories were supplied with consumables and subject-related apparatus to support the curriculum. The next slide, which is 11, is also just a reflection in terms of the trends in the international and math and science study, which I'll also be reiterating further within the other slides on our on the grade 5 mathematics, which has increased, as well as the grade 9 mathematics and so forth. As well as the next slide, which is slide 12, which highlights our improvement in terms of the 2016 supplementary examination, which has then increased with the pass rate from 70.7 to 72.1. And then I'll then go into the actual program. And then in terms of then the slide of an overview, the status bar slide, we highlighted that we have achieved 68%.
I forgot to guide you. I'm giving you an hour for presentation. Mm. 11:30, you are through.
Thank you. Thank you. And partially achieved were 16%, and not achieved also 16%.
Then who was doing your math? Because I can see that you're racing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being generous.
Okay. And then I'm going then into our key indicators, in terms of our APP indicators. Mm-hmm. In terms of the percentage of the service providers within procured within and paid within 30 days, we are progressive, and in terms of the deviation, it was not that significant. And the result of the deviation was because if you look at the indicator, we are talking about paying the service providers within 30 days. And you will find that sometimes when we receive the invoices, we are left with 2 to 3 days of the month end. And there's certain processes that are carried out through our BAS system in ensuring that payment. So that was the reason of that deviation, because of the 30 days. And you find that we received them late and already we're left with possibly 2 days before the end of the 30 days. And then in terms of the indicator on percentage of received misconduct cases resolved within 90 days, we have progressed, mm-hmm. as well as percentage of received grievances cases resolved within 30 days. We have also progressed, and the positive deviation in that regard was that the grievance case were received, which were 8, which were resolved, and then there were officials who were not satisfied mm-hmm. with some of the processes, which then also it tempered, as we highlighted on our indicator, it is about the 30-day compliance. And then we find that we then only managed them to resolve some of the cases then after the 30 days, which had then impacted on the overall target that we had planned. That is the reason in terms of some of those areas with regards to the deviation. This is just an elaboration of already what I had highlighted in the table, and then I'll just then proceed onwards. In terms of the key posts that were filled by the department is the Deputy Director Curriculum Policy Support, as well as the Director Strategic Planning, the Director Internal Audit, as well as the Director in the Office of the Director General. And with also the filling of those vacancies, the post had appointed 5 females and 1 male, showing that we're representing and promoting women in the department. And then in terms of the skills development training, that is just an overview in terms of the training that is carried out within the department, focusing then on the interns and focusing as well as the bursary that were issued. In terms then of the next slide on the financial services, it's a reflection that I already highlighted in elaborating on the other table. I'm on slide 23, sorry colleagues. And then that is just a highlight in terms of already what I reiterated. I won't go too detailed on that. And then in terms of...
Okay.
And then in terms of our action plan 2019, we wanted to highlight that we were able to translate it into 10 official languages, and we have published it as well in our departmental website, as well as that we have done the school monitoring survey, which is a tool that we use then to monitor the progress towards achievement. In terms of the slide 26, it's a reflection highlighting that we have completed the year research in terms of Northwest and the UNICEF Apologies and Zenith Foundation, which approved then the additional funding for implementing then the grade 3 from the start of the first term 2017. And then in terms of the next slide, in terms of slide 30, we are reflecting our international relations, where we have managed to engage with various countries, and the Korean government through the MEET scholarship program has also dispatched 2 teachers for each of the 3 subjects to South Africa, which then has assisted in 2 schools, which is the Tsako Thabo Secondary School as well as Bokgoni Technical Secondary School. And then moving then into slide 33, it's just a reflection in terms of the grant management, in terms of that we have managed and to approve all the business plan in the NSNP and HIV life skills education, as well as ensuring that we have been monitoring that is effective in terms of the spending of our grants in those areas, as well as a new grant that we have identified as a department, which is then to support for learners with severe to profound intellectual disabilities. Moving then to program 2 indicators, we have progressed, it's slide 35, we have progressed in terms of the number of offline digital packaged and distributed to provinces, as well as on the schools that were the provinces were monitored in the utilization of ICT, were also green in that regard, as well as the offline digital content resource developed annually. As well as on the indicator on the percentage of public schools with home language books for learners in grade 1 to 6, we are progressive and we have achieved, as well as percentage of the public schools with mathematics workbooks for learners in grade 1 to 9. As also on 2.2.3, we are also achieved in terms of percentage of public schools with workbooks for grade R, as well as 2.3.1 on the number of underperforming schools monitored, implementation of early grade reading assessment. We managed to achieve our target, as well as the number of schools monitored on the implementation of the reading norms. As well as moving then to 2.3.3, we have managed then to progress on the number of schools monitored on the implementation of the incremental introduction of African languages, as well as the math, science, and technology lesson developed, plans developed, as well as the mathematics, science, technology teacher guides. We also achieved our plan target in that regard. In terms of 2.4.4, which is an area that is in amber, we were not able to achieve our plan target in terms of the number of training center caps for technical subject visited during the training session. And that was as a reason that, based on the audit that was conducted, the auditors then interpreted that the indicator should be focusing on the training centers. Mm-hmm. However, the centers, there were sessions that were conducted which were more than the training centers, because we only have 9 training centers. So the conclusion then, in terms of that indicator, that was the result of it being an amber and not achieved. However, we have put in remedial actions where we have requested so that the indicator can focus on the sessions. And because we know we have 9 training centers, and we show the impact based on the sessions that have been conducted. In terms of the number of learners enrolled for the Karibuda Literacy Campaign, we are also amber in that regard, and the total number of then 171,800 learners, which was out of the 295 minus the 123, could not be reached, and that was as a result then of where we find that we had learners who were deceased and learners who were recycled learners then, which we had to remove, as well as fictitious learners that were removed, as well as learners then who were not registered but attended classes, as well as then who have matric and those who have grade 9 that were not identified by the Auditor General. The remedial actions that as a department then we put in place was that the program has come to an end for 2016-17. However, we are doing a mopping up process, and the learners that have been affected by the corruption, the fraud and the practices were then removed from the campaign, as well as then through the internal labor relation processes, some cases were then also addressed, as well as the cases also involving volunteers who are no longer in the campaign were reported through the Hawks. So as a department, we got involved to that extent of also involving the Hawks to help us with the investigation, as well as civil and criminal cases that were opened against those who committed the fraudulent practices in that regard. In terms of 2.5.2 on slide 42, as with regard to the number of learners who obtained a National Senior Certificate through the Second Chance Program, mm-hmm. we were amber, and that was as a reason that the project had started in 2015-16 with the estimated target of 10,000, and then we didn't have a baseline available. And therefore, then the project targeted then the learners who wrote the exams in March, June, and November. And then the learners who are writing supplementary exams and those who opted for modularization. Therefore, the data that was then taken was based from those learners. And what we have done then as a department is that we have looked into developing a tool that would be able to show the distinction between the learners who are currently writing the exams and those who are coming through then as a second chance, so that we are able to also be able to count them in a more effective way. So that was a result of some of the challenges that were there that happened with regard to that indicator. And therefore, then also the examination system then could not effectively track them. So that is how then we'll look into the future to improve that we monitor and track them more effectively in that regard. In terms of then slide 44 on inclusive education, we have developed training manuals as some of the key achievement of the 26th technical occupational subjects, and we are also strengthening the pilot of the subjects in 57 schools of the skills, as well as then we're also training then for the teachers and the deaf teaching assistants for the senior phase and the grades. So in total, 37 schools participated, and 51 of the teachers and 38 of the deaf teaching assistants then, in terms of the training that has been done. So we are progressive, and the grant will then be a support mechanism in strengthening our role in terms of inclusive education. That is what we have done. And then in terms of The next slide is just a reflection in terms of the the early grade reading assessments that were done.
I don't know.
Yes,
I'm not sure whether it's mainly the slow learner or before the slide on inclusive education. I have early childhood development.
Yes,
you missed me or I missed you. Somebody missed you.
Did you not hit the one that she is on?
No, Chair. I can revert to the slide. I was just trying to focus because some of the information is elaborated as we move along. But I can go back to the slide if maybe you require that I go. I was taking the approach and the guidance that will focus on certain key areas.
That is very key. That one is very important. Is it? Very important.
Okay, in terms of the early childhood development on slide 43, the DBE in collaboration with UNICEF and Cotland trained 116 district officials and representatives from the ECD training organization, as well as the South African curriculum framework for children from birth of 4 years was versioned into 10 official languages by the team of 28 provincial language experts. As well, then we also conducted training of practitioners at national qualification framework level, and then that was then from a database of 4,809 records that were submitted then by the SACWA for matching with then with the records of the National Learner Record Database. Applied to inclusive education, and then in terms of then the slide, then in terms of slide 46 on the further education and training. We have monitored 36 winter schools in the second quarter, as well as 50 centers across our 7 provinces, as well as 31 marking centers across the 8 provinces, as well as having 17 standardized reports then that were developed and presented through the pre-standardization engagement. In terms of curriculum innovation and e-learning, we've also had a total of 3.9 million hour that were printed and delivered to 16,523 schools, and also following the state-owned textbooks that were developed for grade 1, 2, grade 3 readers in the big books in 11 languages. The following is a reflection then of the provincial breakdown in detail in terms of some of the areas that I've highlighted with regards to the grade R, volume 1 and volume 2 workbooks delivery, which is 100% in terms of the total books that were allocated, the schools that were dispatched to, as well as then where delivery was conducted, as well as then in terms of the schools that received that the books. They also fall the same that were on 100% in terms of the volume 1, grade 1 to grade 9 workbooks delivery in all our provinces, as well as volume 2, grade 1 to grade 9 workbooks delivery in terms of all our provinces. The books that were delivered were on 100% across all the provinces. And then in terms of then the next slide is just a reflection that we had 719 schools, which is 42 in the Eastern Cape, 77 in the Free State, 207 in Gauteng, 32 in KwaZulu-Natal, 75 in Limpopo, and 136 in Mpumalanga, 27 in the Northern Cape that were supplied with the information and communication technology resources. We've also had 202 schools that were also supplied with the equipment and the machinery in that regard, as well as ensuring that 1,647 grade 11 educators are also trained in the specialization. That is just also in continuing in terms of the learners who were funded to participate in the mathematics, science and competition, which was 116,105, as well as ensuring and having our MOU signed in terms of involving 30 million to technical schools to promote artisanship of the 10 schools and 210 learners. And then in terms of, this is just an overview in terms of the mathematics and science in the training of our teachers as well, in ensuring that they're able to use the iPads and the equipment in order to guide and teach our learners with regards to their math and science technology innovation tools. And then in terms of rural education on slide 56, we have a total of 2,435 teachers and 1,216 subject advisors in 8 provinces that were trained, as well as we were able to produce a 25 Meet the Gap studies to support the grade 12 learners. Now, coming to our Karibu Day, I've highlighted a bit in terms of the challenges in that regard, but in detail was that we have managed to change the lives of 4,386 251 South Africans, as well as then this then equivalent then to 93%. And also we've managed to create 320 job opportunities in that regard, and then an average of 40,790 volunteers then per annum. And then the next slide is just also a continuation of the Karibu Day. I've highlighted that we've also recruited 14,743, and also the second chance is just an elaboration again in terms of strength, what I had highlighted in terms of the indicator. Currently, we are having 11,074 learners achieving the NEC during then the March 2016, November 2016, as well as March 2017 supplementary. As well as what we have done with the second chance is having then the face-to-face teaching that has been offered in terms of our district, as well as providing then a 12-hour contact time to supplement then the learners in phase two to provide 30 hours, which is then the contact support on the progress in that regard. This also is just a strengthening in terms of the second chance that we've also had a web page in the department that we have established on the content, where learners then are able to go and upload the documentation, as well as Stellenbosch University and the University of the Free State also providing then the content in that regard, as well as having then in our Vodacom centers also accessibility in terms of our second chance program, as well as radio lessons that for then 11 high Roman subjects that have also been used as a platform to guide and support the learners who are then affected then by the second chance. And then the next slide is just an overview of the DG engagements with the provincial district officers, and these are just the pictures to show then when he was doing those various provincial engagements. And that's then also the HOD of Limpopo there, and just showing that. And then I'll move on then to program three. And then in terms of our percentage, it's slide 66, in terms of our percentage of SGBs that meet minimum criteria in terms of effectiveness, we have progressed and achieved the target. And then also in terms of 3.1.2 on the percentage of schools producing the minimum set of management document at a required standard, we've also managed to achieve the target, and the positive deviation was due to the intensified effort by the provinces as the audit document was then to be conducted through the Auditor General. And then in terms of the number of Funza Lushaka bursaries awarded to students enrolled for initial teacher education, we also progressed in that indicator, and it was also as a result then of the higher education institution fees that were lower, and we managed then to enroll more students in that regard. And then in terms of the number of the teachers participating in the EFL diagnostic test, we're not able to achieve that indicator, which also is related then to the next one on the number of teachers participating in the mathematics diagnostic test. And then the delays, the result of us not being able to achieve that indicator and the target we planned, it was as a result of the delays in the administration of the test due to the involvement of the union and the unrest in that regard, and the resistance then by the teacher union of SATU and NATU, especially in KZN, the Free State, in Mpumalanga and Northwest, as well as then all the targeted teachers then could not be tested in a short space of time available. What we have done then as a department is that in collaboration then an agreement has been reached with ETDP CETA of 1.7 million allocation and Vodacom in providing 500,000 to assist with administration of the EFAL testing, as well as then SDBE, then we have engaged with officials in Northwest, KZN, Free State and Mpumalanga provinces on how to deal effectively with the resistance of the teacher unions in that regard. In terms of 3.4.1, on the number of schools per PD monitored on the implementation of IQMS, we have achieved our planned target for the financial year, as well as number of PDs monitored on the implementation of PMDS, we've also achieved our target, as well as the number of the PDs that had their post-provisioning process assessed for compliance, we've also managed to achieve with our planned target in that regard. And then in total, then we are having 14,835 educators aged 30 and below who are appointed exceeding then our 10,000 MTSF target that we have planned in our action plan 2019, as well as some of the key highlights, a total of 16,164 appointed education in post levels that were beneficiaries then who conducted the training and support of the IQMS, as well as then external evaluation where the PD then reported that 392 schools were externally evaluated then for the sector. And this is also just a continuation in terms of our education human resource management, where we have been able to have queries, issues of employment and relation education sector that were received and attended to, and as well as our personal administration in which eight provinces were trained. However, that was then excluded in Mpumalanga, in which the training is then anticipated in this current financial year. That is just also a reflection in terms of the Funza Lushaka placement, which I would then request that I go to the next slide, which highlights then for each province where the placements have been done. From the Eastern Cape, as we can see, it's around 76%, as well as some of Northwest is 100%. However, I'd also like to just highlight that the placement, because it is done in terms of using our personal system. Currently, we were sitting then at 94%, apologies, which has increased. Therefore, and some of those increases is not reflected there, but I thought it was a key issue to highlight that we have increased. So when we reported, because the PESAL system is run through and we capture, then we were at 99%, but now we have improved and we're at 94% across the provinces. And then the next slide then is just a reflection in terms of education, human development, in terms of the EFAL advocacy, in which we had subject advisors then from five provinces who received the training, which was the Eastern Cape, the Free State, and the Northern Cape, who were not able to conduct the training. And also we have over 125,801 teachers in terms of the training that was received with regards to that area of the work. And then in terms of our principals, we have training on the principals on the curriculum management, which is slide 76, which is 1,224 circuit managers and 8,020 school principals who were trained, as well as having a total number of circuit managers trained on curriculum, which was then 1,374, as some of the training that we have conducted within the provinces, as well as in terms of the Curriculum and Progress Professional Development Institute. We have 61 teacher centers that have been equipped with e-libraries, and then for seven provinces are provided mobile library services to a number of poor schools within our provinces. It's also in slide 28 an extension in terms of our teachers, our centers, and we are having Vodacom, which has also assisted in beginning then to assist us with rolling out some of the video conferencing facilities then to 91 teacher centers, as well as then where we are having 2,066 teachers and 1,605 youth who have also been trained respectively, and 35 interns appointed as well in that regard. And also we've assessed 5,000 teachers in terms of the EFAL, as well as 5,000 teachers in terms of mathematics. So those are some of the areas and the trainings that we've conducted in our, and the establishment in our teacher centre. Moving then to Program 4, in terms of the indicator on number of ANA reports produced, as we are aware that the ANA report were not produced in 2016-17. However, is that then the proposal is that we're redesigning the process, and then we should be managing to report more effectively in this financial year on the developments in that regard. And then in terms of 4.1.2, in terms of the bank language and mathematics test items for grade 3, 6, and 9 developed, it was a positive deviation due to writers who started before the writing sessions at DBE in their test items, so we need to develop some test items in that regard. And then in terms of the number of NSC and SC report produced, we also progressed in that regard. And then in terms of the number of question papers that we also achieved our targets. Then coming then to our challenges on ACIDI, in terms of the number of new schools built and completed through ACIDI, in terms of our progress accumulation since the conception of the project, we have achieved 179 in total. And then for the financial year 2016-17 it was 16 that was done, and then in terms of then of the number of schools provided with sanitation facilities to ACD, we have managed to achieve 425 since the conceptualization of the project, and then 9 which was in 16-17. And then in terms of the schools provided with water, we were then also we managed to do 10 in 16-17, and since conceptualization of the project is 650. And then in terms of electricity, that's where we've only managed to accumulate until 306, and for 16-17 we're not able to be progressive in that regard. Some of the challenges we had with the indicator, it was a result then of the poor performance resulting in the termination of the contract of and procurement replacement of the contractors, as well as poor performance of our implementing agents. Therefore, we also had to terminate then some of the contracts of the implementing agents and reduce the scope of work due to the poor performance. Also, issues of inclement weather, as well as then the difficulty terrain looking also within the Eastern Cape in making access then to the site, as well as construction work disruption due to some of the community arrests that would occur within the province, as well then also the ACD program also then contributed to set targets then not being able to be achieved. The remedial actions that were put in place was that then we had our accounting officer then chairing and monitoring meetings on a weekly basis in terms of accountability, as well as then having a task team that was put in place then to conclude the rationalization process on our ACD schools in the Eastern Cape, as well as then the project allocation then in terms of poor performing implementing agents then reallocated then to the implementing agents that were more effectively in performing, such as DVSA, CDC and Mbula Trust, as well as then terminating those contracts of poor performing contractors, as well then using the program support unit and internal capacity to implement some of the projects. In terms of indicator 4.4.1 on percentage of public schools using the standardized school administration system SSM for reporting, we had a deviation between the target and the performance, which was then due to the schools that are not using the SSM as it is not mandatory. So what we have done as a department, we are then putting intervention strategies in KZN and Gauteng in implementing then the SSM, including provincial circulars, as well as informing schools to report on the data using the SSM. The department is also then modernizing the SSMs into a web-based platform, where then it will enable the system then to integrate with other government information systems like SASA, HANIS, or Home Affairs, where then the most schools then are expected then to make use then of our SSM. In terms of 4.4.2, it was also indicated on the percentage of learners from public schools that are successfully uploaded on the LURIS, and we were amber in our performance, and then that was as a reason that the data quality assurance process in both the developing provincial data warehouses and national upload resulted then in the delay in the LURIS submission, as well as then the LURIS system then is still a developing system, and therefore there are operational data uploading challenges such as the system compatibility issues, the inadequate capacity of the server not coping with the LURIS data volume in terms of example Limpopo, as well as structural SSM administration in Gauteng. We've also intend to have put in remedial actions that we are now analyzing the data prior to uploading the LURIS, and we are also then implementing programs to deal with data quality at a source level, which is then the schools, and also LURIS is now implementing a reporting system for the sector in 2017, as well as then education departments putting in an extra effort in making sure that the learners are then uploaded there on the LURIS. In terms of 4.5.5 on the number of officials from districts that achieved below the national benchmark, NSC participation, we've managed to achieve our targets, and the 6 positive deviation was due to the increase in the interest in terms of that indicator. And the percentage of principals rating the school support district office as satisfactory, we also managed to achieve in that regard in our plan target. And then for percentage of district assessed against developed criteria on slide 87, we have not managed to achieve our plan target, which we then achieved 52 out of the 70 districts that were then assessed using the competency assessment. Therefore, two provinces, namely the Free State and Limpopo, have incumbents appointed on a permanent basis without undergoing then the competency assessment. And then this then resulted then in the decline in terms of the target moving. So that is as a result of not being able to achieve. And the remedial action, we then conducted an audit skills and competency of the district managers, and then a competency framework that would also be used to develop competency assessment then informed by the gaps identified. And this is a reflection in terms of the national assessment and public examination. And we have test items for diagnostic assessment that were pre-tested in grade 3, 6, and 9 language mathematics, and 701 test items developed, as well as looking at another key point is that we are having a total of 150,966 full-time and 813 part-time candidates who wrote the supplementary examination. And then from there, then a total of 169,619 candidates then enrolled to write the 16 NSSC examination, and 33,005 being the candidates then who enrolled for six or more subjects in that regard. This is just a then a provincial breakdown in terms of 2015 with regards to the full-time candidates as well as the part-time candidates, and looking at our 2016 then breakdown in terms of our full-time candidates and our part-time candidates. And then we can see that in terms of the Eastern Cape, there was an improvement. Free State, there was a slight decline. And then we also had an improvement in Limpopo as well as Mpumalanga, as well as the Northwest. So, and then therefore the overview in terms of the national perspective is that we had then an improvement of 9,216 as compared then to the other 2015, with the difference in the improvement in the figure. And then the next slide is also a breakdown in terms of the NSC report card class of 2016, which then, as I highlighted in the key achievement, we have achieved and improved to 72.5%. And we had Free State, which led in terms of that pass rate, as well then followed by the Western Cape and also provinces such as Gauteng. However, we also have other provinces that were also who wrote, and they are improving, and those, and then Eastern Cape, of course, having then the 59.3. And then the next slide, which is slide 92, is just a reflection that shows since 1970 in terms of the candidates passing metric, and we started at 43,000, and 2016 we are 442,672, therefore showing that there has been more enrollment over the years and improvement in that regard. In terms of the summary, I've highlighted already. That is just an elaboration based on some of the areas on the table. But I also then look into the number of candidates then who obtained admission to diploma studies has increased from 179 to 619 to 182,138, which is an additional 2,519 then candidates. As also in terms of then the number of candidates then who obtained admission at bachelor studies has also increased from 162,374 to 163,875, then translating then to 1,501 more candidates compared then to the November 2015 NSC examination. I've highlighted in terms of the NSC in the other presentation, that is just the provincial breakdown, which then I'll pass through then in that regard, that we had improved. And then in terms then of the slide 96, it's just a reflection in terms of that we have improved as a South Africa, and we have shown improvement of 87 points in math and 90 points then in science with regards to our terms, as well as then highlighting that in terms of then the next slide, that the South African Eastern and Consortium for Monitoring Education in Africa initiative then is a response then to the target set within the framework for the International Education Campaign and the Union Millennium Development. And in terms of then, we have administered then also test grade 6 language, mathematics and health knowledge relatively then to HIV and TB in the network of 15 education ministries in Africa. And in terms of the next slide, against the SACMEC, as we know that the score above the center point, it initially the center point is 500. Therefore, we then received the score above the center point of 538 in reading and 552 mathematics, as well as in terms of the SACMEC 4, learner showed then also improvement in terms of an increase by the 33 points in reading and 57 points in mathematics. So therefore, we have improved above then the center point of 500 in that regard, as well as then this is just a reflection to show where we are sitting in terms of the countries that are listed then that partake then in that assessment of the SACMEC. And then the next slide is a reflection on the reading improvement. And then we are just showing then in South Africa where we are in terms of our PA, as well as then the improvement on the Western Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo when it comes to reading, as well as the Free State and then the Eastern Cape. And then that is also the next slide in terms of changing mathematics scores of from the SACMEC to SACMEC 4, also just showing then the national increase where there has been a high increase within the Western Cape, as well as looking at also at Limpopo and Mpumalanga, there's been also some increases in that regard. And then also moving then in terms of ASIDI, this was the provincial breakdown on slide 105, reflecting then what we've reiterated in terms of our performance. That within the provinces where the projects were done, we completed 248 in the Eastern Cape, in the free, and then also in KZN, which is 197, as well as in Limpopo, where we had 95 completions in terms of the water. And also in terms of sanitation, we also had a completion in the Eastern Cape. And in summary, the completion then, I've highlighted even in the table before that we're sitting at 615, and then in terms of then sanitation is 425 completion, and then electricity is 306. Then there is the more detailed provincial breakdown in terms of that project. And that is just the summary also responding then to the more detailed breakdown in the previous slide that I've presented. The next slide is the induction orientation for district circuit managers. That is just to show the partake in that regard. And then in terms of the school level planning implementation, we've had the school improvement support coordinators who work within 187 circuits and managers who assisted in that regard, as well as then also the monitoring that has been conducted then within 2,261 schools that were visited. Those are the just various ministerial engagements that were conducted in the Eastern Cape, where then 13 clusters in 5 provinces were visited as well, through then involvement of our ministerial leadership. And then in terms of the slide 110, it's a reflection of the provincial breakdown in terms of the Northie school and Northie learner. And then we are also just showing that for South Africa, then we are currently at 78.83%. Then approximately 86% of all public ordinary schools nationally are Northie schools, and then approximately then 78% of all learners are accommodated then in the Northie schools nationally. And then that is just a reflection then in terms of the human resource that was highlighted, that we had a total of 407, which is 56% out of 620 posts that were filled. And some of the challenges then were due to the lack of the relevant qualifications and registration processes. In terms of scholar support, we have 524, 662 learners in need of transport, and in the financial year 16-17, we have planned to transport 420, 240 learners. Then the learner transport was 444, 293, which translated to 85% of the learners being transported. However, transportation then of the learners was at 180% more than what was initially planned. So we have managed to transport more learners in that regard. And the below is just a reflection in terms of the school furniture that was required and the provision then, which was 681, 891 units that we provided to 3,852 schools. The next reflection is just in terms of the customer care calls that we have received, which we attended to and responded to, and the cases resolved. And the next slide is also just a reflection in terms of then the provincial breakdown, which was then we had calls received then during the quarter, which was Eastern Cape was number of calls during the quarter was 24, and then we've managed to resolve them at 90.75%. So they were just reflecting Western Cape, they were all resolved, and Northern Cape 99.11%. So that is just a provincial breakdown in terms of the cases received and resolved. In terms of Program 5, which is 5.1.1, number of schools monitored for the provision of nutritious meals, we have progressed and achieved our target. Number of adjudicators, data capture, farmer schools trending the first team, also achieved in our target. And then in terms of number of learners participating in school social cohesion, we are amber, and the negative deviation is as a result then of some of the signatures that were not incorrectly, that were incorrectly attached. Then and thus these names were not counted, and that was then as a result then of us having then a deviation in that regard. And then in terms of 5.3.1 on the number of hotspot schools monitored towards implementation of NSSF, we also had then achieved our target there in that regard. And then in terms of the National School Nutrition Program, we targeted 150 schools for monitoring all the provinces, and 151 schools were then visited through the NSNP, as well as in terms of the, we've had partnerships as well in terms of support of the NSNP, and we delivered then to 8 kitchens within the Eastern Cape one and KwaZulu-Natal, which was 7. And then in terms of the school deworming program, we've had a World Health Organization donating 6 million of member Dezol tablets then for the 2017 in that regard. And this is just then a breakdown of the next slide in terms of the number of children that was fed per province, and we've fed 1.4 within the Eastern Cape, as well as 521, 976 in the Free State, and also we've fed a high number of learners within KwaZulu-Natal, as well, which is 2.2 million there, as well as 1.6 in Limpopo, and in total then it was 9 million learners that have been fed then within the provinces in that regard. The next slide, I'll reiterate in terms of health promotion, and we've had a total of 115 district officials that have been oriented for the CSTL framework, as well as 825 learner support agents that were trained. In terms of HIV and AIDS life skills education program, we had 20,511 educators out of a target of 19,500 that were reached then for training, as well as then also in terms of then the provinces appointed 1,847 then LSA exceeding then the target by 28. So we've done appointments in that regard. In terms of the TB program, we've managed to reach then 15,880 learners with regards to that program in the Western Cape, as well as also having then an estimated of 9,249 learners and 311 educators reached to the Eastern Cape with regards to the TB program. And then the next slide is the current status then of the HPV data for 2017 cohort, which is then a breakdown, and then reflecting then within some of the provinces, South Africa were at 70.4, and then some of the high numbers are then within the Free State, as well as also within Western Cape, Northern Cape, as well as also the other provinces. We've also managed to have a high percentage in that regard. And then in terms of the social cohesion, we are just reflecting on the participation of the learners, and then in terms of then the also the district that participated, we're having 3,082 learners then who participated then in 61 district. And then moving then also, this is just a reflection of the next slide in terms of the dialogue that the minister has had with learners from various opportunities, and also looking at then in total of 8,200 learners registered and participated with regards to the sports and enrichment. And then the next slide also, it's also just a reflection on the sports and enrichment. And then the key, some of the key issues, which is safety and education. We have monitored schools in implementing the National School Safety Framework against an annual target of 46. So we did more as per our target that we had planned, as well as then engaging then in the road safety education and scholar patrol program. We've also then participated in a joint program then with the FAPS in that regard. This is just a reflection of the partnerships that we have conducted. And then also I've highlighted already on some of the engagement on the NSC and also recognizing our teachers when it comes to our award ceremonies in that regard. I'll then hand over then the report then to the CFO to present on the finances.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In terms of expenditure of the department, the department spent 95.82%, and the amount that was not spent is 937.397 million, and this represents 4.18%. And then if we look at per program, program one, which is administration, there was no, the underspending there was not significant. And then for program two, there was underspending of 51.2632, and the reason for underspending was due to the number of volunteers that for the Karigude program that was lower than anticipated. Therefore, the amount for the EPWP could not be drawn. And then program three, the underspending there was 1.643 million, which is not significant. And then program four, it's 874 million, 0.743 that was not spent. And the reason for underspending on that program was due to poor performance by implementing agents and professional service providers and contract some of the contractors. And this necessitated termination of contracts in this regard. And the process of appointing replacement contractors took time in some cases. But the other reason for underspending on infrastructure was the process of rationalization and measures of schools, especially in the Eastern Cape province, which delayed achievement of targets. And then program five, the underspending, although it was not significant, it was mainly due to underspending on the HIV and AIDS conditional grant in the Limpopo province. There were delays in provincial approval of funds to implement the activities. So that led to underspending in that regard. And then on the next slide, it's the expenditure, the economic classification. And then there was underspending on the compensation of employees. But this was mainly on the allocation for the compensation of employees. The MST, which is the Maths and Science and Technology Conditional Grant, in respect of oversight thereof, the post for monitoring of the grant for the vacant posts were advertised, and at the end of the financial year, the shortlisting was still underway. And then the other part was for the workbooks. The workbooks were developed internally in the department, so there was no longer a need to work extensively on the workbooks, hence part of the money was not spent. But the department will reprioritize the remaining amount to fund critical posts which were not funded. And then the other area is there was a bit of overspending on goods and services of 15.671 million. And the reason for overspending was that the DBE appointed a team to fast-track rationalization of ACIDI schools in the Eastern Cape in order to meet its target. And the projects that were terminated from implementing agents were in the interim managed within the department, and this had to be paid through the goods and services. They were paid to program support units, so this also led to overspending in this area. And then the underspending was on the payment of capital assets. There was a huge underspending of 932 million. And this was due to the poor performance that I explained of implementing agents, PSPs, and contractors, and the rationalization and measure of schools in the Eastern Cape. And then this slide just reflects the audit outcome for the whole sector. And for eight provinces, including the Department of Basic Education, the audit outcome was unchanged. The only province that improved was the Limpopo province. They moved from a disclaimer to a qualification. And then Western Cape received a clean audit, unqualified audit without findings. And then four provinces plus the department received unqualified audit with findings, and then the four other provinces received qualified audit opinion. And then, as I indicated, the department received an unqualified opinion with findings. The matters of emphasis that were mentioned by in the report was that the corresponding figures for 31 March have been restated as a result of an error in the financial statement of the department, as well as for the year ended 31 March. And these were in relation to items, two items, the commitments and the accruals recorded in the department. And then there was material understanding of the budget, and the department has material underspent the budget on program 4 to the amount of 874 million. And then there was also irregular expenditure to the amount of 621 million, which was incurred in the current financial year, which was 2016-17, as a result of supply chain processes not being followed. But this was procurement through the implementing agents that were constructing school on our behalf. And then the regular expenditure to the amount of 351 million that was incurred in the previous year was still under investigation. And then there was also fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was incurred and to the amount of 11.157 million. And this was incurred in the current financial year. This is in relation to the Karibule program. It was referred to earlier about the volunteers that had learners with matric in their classes. Some had deceased learners and so on. And then other matters that were mentioned in the report was adjustment of material misstatements. There were misstatements in the annual performance report submitted for auditing. And these material misstatements were in the performance information for Program 2 and Program 4. But the misstatements were corrected during the audit. And then the second matter was annual financial statements that were submitted were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework. And material misstatements of immovable, tangible capital assets, accruals, payables, not recognized, and commitments identified by auditors during the audit. Now this slide just reflects the irregular expenditure in the books of the department. There was an adjustment of the irregular expenditure. In the current financial year 2016-17, an adjustment of 1.402 billion was effected, and then 33 million in the 15-16 financial year. And the reason for reducing the irregular expenditure, previously the Auditor General wanted us to disclose if an IA was regarded as irregular in the appointment. We had to include even the contractors that they appointed. But we were allowed to make an adjustment and only show the management fee that is paid to a particular IA as an irregular expenditure. Hence, we could reduce the irregular expenditure. And then on this slide, we are just reflecting the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the 2015-16 financial year, we had to disclose 44 million as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But the department appointed an investigator to investigate if this is indeed fruitless and wasteful, because it was picked up by the Auditor General, and it was agreed, and this was discussed with the Auditor General, that 42.755 million of that is not fruitless and wasteful. So only about 1.5 million remained as fruitless and wasteful. So hence we are showing the 42 in brackets there. And then the new irregular is the 11.157 that I just explained just now. And then the, I think I've already spoken to this. Thank you, Chair. I think I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. We've come to the end of the presentation by the department. I will hand over to members to engage the report. You'll have a field day today because it's only a few of us. Honorable Hartin, Honorable Mpambos Buwane, Honorable Zamini.
Thank you, Chair, and also thanks to the for the presentation. First, just a question. And it comes out of 4.2.5.1, it was also in the slide. It was stated that the South African National Curriculum Framework for Children from birth to four was versioned into 10 official languages in a two-week workshop, 10 days, involving 28 language experts. I would like to know which language was now isolated and not. And there couldn't be find expertise or time to also include the other language. Then, Chair, like I've said last year, I once again, and I think even more so, find that the annual report is a showcase document, showcasing achievements, and not what it, in my opinion, should have been. Showcasing on one side achievements, but also then giving a fair balance between challenges and achievements. So that if we say this is the report and everything about the education system will be in here, our challenges, etc., it will be in here. It's not. So we have to look at elsewhere to get some, in the limited time that we had available, to get some insight in what is presented to us here and what is being tabled. And one thing that is of concern to me is you'll find on page 241 of the AG's report, and I want to read it to you. And this comment of the AG actually put in context, put in my mind some doubt of what was presented to us here. I want to read it. I identified material misstatements in the annual performance report submitted for auditing. These material misstatements were on the reported performance information on Program 2, on which we actually spent the bulk of the time here today. That's curriculum policy, support and monitoring and program, and then also on Program 4, planning, information and assessment. As management, now here's the question, why is the following in the AG's report? As management subsequently corrected only some of the misstatements, I raised material findings on the reliability of the reported performance information. Now this caused some doubt on what we have here and also on management's intention in presenting this here. The AG actually told the department this is a misstatement and the management decided not to correct it. Why? I know that there can be some, say now, well, the AG, and I've heard it all before, the AG is wrong, and this happened, that happened, but I found, as far as AG's annual reports and AG's concerned, there are actually only two rules. First, the AG is always right, and if in doubt, rule two, refer to rule one. And we yet have to find materially the AG report report. Then, although some light was shed on irregular expenditure, I'm again concerned about recurring AG's report specifically on the irregular expenditure, where the bulk of it relates to supply chain management. And we know that supply chain management is actually the focus area for those who want to be corrupt, also played a prominent role in what is now known as state capture. So that is very concerned. And then also that we have ongoing investigations, never-ending investigations into previous years' AG's findings. Apart from the irregular one, which I can understand there is a dispute, but there appears to be no action on the regular expenditure that was reported in previous years by the AG. And I would, if there was action, I would like to then get a report. What action was taken? How much of the were people held accountable? And what were the consequences? There is I would like also to get a understanding of the difference in the unless expenditure amount reported by the AG, which was 874,753,000, and a different figure was mentioned here. I would just to also get an understanding of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hatti. Honourable Pampus, for one.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, just want to get to the application services, and I'm pressed. I will run my questions, then I will go under question. The retrieval process that's given on the of textbooks. The retrieval process, it says 83%, if I'm right. 85%, if I'm right. I want to know the 15%, which poses how ready are you are for the with the registration of the text in the textbook. I don't know if, based on my sickness, which you know, check, if I'm explaining myself right. I want to know about the registration, how ready is the department for next day? Shall we have and see on our screen that there's a problem? The retrieval of 85% of textbooks, where is the 15%? What I have strategies have they put in place in trying to get the 15% that's not coming back on the textbook, because it's going to affect the registration, because when you register you get a textbook on all provinces. You said on your opening remarks, Chairperson, they must touch base on the AB for Tuma School. Nothing has come out. We would like to know what's happening with the sexual harassment in that regard. We know exactly that the minister has arrested some of the, including the principal, some of the officials have been expelled. I don't know if
charged.
They have been charged. Mm-hmm. I want to know the what you have asked has not been alluded to. Mm-hmm. They have been silent on that. Who appoints the security? Mm-hmm. Is it the governing body or the principal? Does the government, what strategies has the department put when they had the sexual error, which also poses questions on the SAP? Who appoints them? Who appoints them? It's their say that 87 children have been sexually harassed and they've kept quiet and the principal has been left aware of what is happening. It's very sad. Yeah, 10 official languages, my colleague has touched that. I want to know about the sign language. Has it been translated to sign language? My question was going to be the 11th language that's been left. The 12th language is the sign language. Has it been translated into that? If it's not, let it happen. Let it happen, because it's a matter of the UN Convention we have signed in South Africa, that we will abide and comply with the UN Convention. It said that the Department of Education has not alluded to the signing to the translation of the 12th language, which was adopted earlier on. I'm really concerned about safety of the school. After the Kwakuma report, PG,
I'm really appalled by the what happened in Limpopo, what happened in Limpopo with the sexual harassment and the Gauteng one. I want a report that's going to talk only on safety of the swimmers. The whole of the provinces. It's a who DBE. I'm really concerned if we our parents go to school and they think that the children are safe, and to find out that the children have been raped, it's not only a social ill, it's the safety that is not in the school. Now I'm thinking of the grandchildren that we have. I don't have any grandchildren, but Wabonaka say too, your grandchildren is my grandchildren. Babang babang Gauteng are my grandchildren. I'm thinking of, they go to school, they are afraid, and you don't believe as a parent when the child says, this has happened to me at school. You don't believe. First, you don't believe. And then the child says it. This is head. How many math schools are there in the Eastern Cape? I read a report. When you were in NA, there are 600 math schools. What is in the Eastern Cape, alone? What is the status of the math schools? What is the status, DG, of the math schools in the Eastern Cape? More than 600 has been reported in the reports that I read. The people who were found, Munso, haven't they been arrested? What has the department done with the fraud that has been found? Has there been any arrest to pay back the money? To pay back the money on the report, the fraud that you mentioned, what strategies have been put in place by the department in retrieving back the money that you spoke about? The vacancies that are in the department, when will they be filled, DJ? So I want the time frame. I don't want in the near future, I want the time frames by end of March, by whatever. It's good that the Chairperson and the others are not, we've got a lot to say. There have been disruptions in the Limpopo province on education, which you fixed. I don't know the state of readiness, but I remember we conducted a visit in the Limpopo, and we saw the state of readiness last year before, I don't know when, year before last, and the results were good. This year, the where is
that was the time of the
hospital. I don't know, it's in Limpopo, the where is this year. Mm. But I was off work, I was in hospital. You don't remember?
Mm.
I want to know the state. Wasteful expenditure. It's been covered by the numbers don't tell with what has been reported by the Auditor General and then the what has been reported by you, CFO. You asked the CFO, CFO, they don't tell, they do talk about, but the numbers that don't tell, I don't know whether I'm pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ten
questions. Ten. Huh? It's a lot. I wish my colleagues can be answered all the time.
No. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I'm sure you understand what we were saying earlier. That don't look at the numbers. Numbers of members who are present in a meeting. Chair, let me welcome the report from the department.
and also acknowledge that it's not a free for all or a general meeting. We are speaking to an annual report on things that the department had said they were going to do in the year in question. So my inputs will be based on that, focus on that, not any other thing that is happening in the Department of Education, Basic Education. I want to start by the appreciate, especially the schools that you are building, including in rural areas, very beautiful schools. And there is no difference between the schools that you build in urban areas as well as schools that you build in rural areas. I'm just saying that when we did our oversight in Mpumalanga, the early this year, we happened to go to one area in rural area, Kamsosha Primary School. That's where I'm coming from. Beautiful school. Very beautiful school. Teaching, we must say, and appreciate the work that is done by the department. And having said that, it doesn't mean that there are no problems, but we do appreciate the work that you are doing as a department. My second question, Chair, I just want to check on the strategy. The person who was presenting, she said the director of cinema management.
Director of
strategy and planning. I don't know whether it's an advisor or a chair. That is the most important unit in an organization. I've noticed I'm from administration. It has been underplayed. I will tell you why, DJ. Because ideally, she's supposed to monitor all the different branches, if you have branches. In your case, you have DDGs. I assume she's the head of the unit.
No.
She's not.
She's not the head.
Is what level?
She's direct.
What on what?
Strategic planning.
Still, you expect the chief director to monitor a DDG. I'm being practical. It's not possible. Unless if that unit is in your office, they carry the clout of a DG. It works. I'm just raising from the previous experience I have. They never took them serious, even if they do their monitoring, if they do that. They don't take them serious because in rank in government, those people are very much conscious about the rank. Who are you to monitor me because of your position? I would say invest in that unit. If you have to have a DDG, do that because it has to ensure that the work of the department is happening. I thought I should say that. But they've covered some of my issues, Chair. One of the issues that were raised by Honorable Hutton was that it's a showcasing report. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying something like that because in my comments here, I've written that on the overview, most of the things are achieved things. I just written that against what? We have planned to do so many things, this is what we've achieved. One will expect a report that say that. Even at the overview level, we want to see that coming out. We appreciate what we've achieved, but because this is a performance report, we are doing oversight. We want to know, you said you've done so much against what target. Even if it is a high-level figure, let's see what was the high-level target and what you have achieved out of that. That is going to assist in terms of the reporting, because this is your reporting period. ECDs. I know in your language when you talk about ECDs, you refer to grade R. So it's beyond that.
0 to 4. and grade R.
Okay. I got it wrong, but it's DG. My question is that we've been to Eastern Cape on taking parliament to the people, and we also know what is happening in our provinces. Most of the ECDs, especially the under five, practitioners, they are not trained. They're not trained at all. Whereas there's not even a curriculum to guide them on what to learn. I'm just saying it's a new thing that government has prioritized. In the past, those garages and whatever facility they are using were more on the non-profit organization. But government has prioritized if it is. We would want to see you. Firstly, you must understand how big is the problem. How many cities are there? How many do we have to train? And in terms of guiding what children must learn, I think that is an area that you must focus on. I don't see it coming up here. I know that you are looking at a report on the things that were planned before, but I'm just flagging that, take that as a priority. Most of them are not trained, and they are not guided on what to teach. I raised it last time. I hear the issue of Hare Hode that you've just concluded. I just want to repeat the question I asked last time when you presented your plan. But if I may go out now, are all South Africans, can they read and write? If not, why close this? I know it's not a decision, but I'm asking again. Why close this program? Because I know for a fact you still have people who cannot read and write. The second thing is that the second chance students or children, what if they fail, especially on the second time? What if they fail? It's possible. Where do they go if Harakuda is no more there? So that's one area that you may have to look at it. And we acknowledge that there were challenges, but the fact remains that we still have South Africans who cannot read and write. That program should continue. Eastern Cape scholar transport is a big problem. I see what she's presenting, that how many people are transporting. They are not conforming to the government policy of how many kilometers they have to children have to walk. It is a problem there. In Mpumalanga, just from the provincial week, a week before last week, in farms, we're in the farms of Megleberg, children wake up at 3, walk to get a scholar transport at 7. Because scholar transport does not go to where they stay, it's a very long distance. They were requesting those farm workers there that at least let them have a smaller transport for them to go to where, on the road where the scholar transport is traveling, is driving through. It's, they wake up at 3 to get the transport at 7. Safety abnormal, and the farmers there are racist. They were intimidated, they promised to be shot at because they have to cross a number of farms even where their parents are not working. It's a very serious matter. There is a neglect which needs to be attended. If information, detailed information is required, we can. I know the province is involved, but at the national level, we have to raise this. Sometimes budgets on paper are misleading. You spend 95.8%. It's about 937 million that was not spent. If it was in a family environment, if we go to the bank, will we find that money there in the bank? Civic corner, or just have it on paper? No, I'm asking this because we were in Free State taking parliament to the people. in one hospital, when we're passing them with questions, they finally argue that, no, check, this man is not there. That's why you can't appoint. It's just on paper. So it's an experience that you have to also ask the same question from other departments. If we were to ask, was the money there? Or it was used for other things, but because we can't physically see it, we only see it on paper. I am happy, I always raise this issue of the clean audit and the performance. Today I have a good example where it contradicts each other. My question, always, my issue was always that clean audit does not mean good performance. Because if you have performed well in your finances, the outcome should be good performance in your program. If you look here, Eastern Cape has a clean audit. Clean audit. But in terms of, let's take the metrics, they're not number one. Go to Free State. Are they number one this year? Were they number one last year?
Correct.
They have a qualified audit opinion. Direct contradiction. And it's true. Because I read the report, there was one report I used when I was debating, a number of issues that are happening in the Western Cape schools. Number of issues, very bad things. There was even a march, they even went to the MECs, they called the minister's office, complaining about what is happening in schools in the Western Cape. Now, I'm raising it to you, but it takes more than your department to say, talk about these things. These clean audits are misleading. These audit outcomes, it's a good thing to refer that we're spending, we're reporting, not reporting well about our finances. The issue is not, yes, it is about finances, but it's about how we perform at school, because our target are the children in school. So I don't know how it has to be resolved, but it's a direct, maybe it has to do with the issues of KPMG, because also the general is using KPMG. Yes, Chair. I don't want to raise it officially, but I do have information on KPMG and the Western Cape, but I can't talk about it now. So I'm just underlining it. CFO, I don't want to accept the 42 brackets that you did your own investigation, because you know, most when the AG is doing my audit, time and again they will call you, here is what our findings, go and look at it and come back and report. The final report, it includes your input. The final AG's report is not that what they sit down and write and give us the opinion. You are involved throughout the process of auditing. So to say later you did an investigation, you have a different report, and it also says that what value do your report have over the AG's report? You see? So Minache, I'm not going to accept this, because she knows that the AG's report stands, right or wrong, it stands. Once they pronounce, it stands, this report. So let's take what they've said. You, behind the scenes, argue with them. If they have to correct, I don't know if they do correct after they've pronounced, let them correct. But as it stands now, let's take what the AG has said. Check it in, I'm concluding. In sign language, I do want to say we have 11 official languages in South Africa. We do appreciate that we do really want to have a sign language as a 12th language. I know there are initiatives or processes of having it as a 12th official language, but I agree with you, cannot be creative. It has to be part of government policies or laws that you are including it as a language now. It cannot come out of your creativity. I just wanted to flag that. But finally, Chair, I was looking at this. a very good report. It summarizes everything about the department, the audit outcome trends for the past 9 years. I am worried about Eastern Cape and my province in Mpumalanga. It also frustrates it in a way in terms of audit outcomes. For the past 4 or 5 years, the Eastern Cape has been receiving a qualified audit opinion. In Mpumalanga for the past 3 years, maybe those are the provinces, DG, that you have to assist. It assists because you can follow a trend that this province for so many years, this is how they have performed. It has to be checked. But again, seriously, on a serious note, a clean audit should not be a guide that the province is doing well. You have to go beyond when you do your monitoring of the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No, I'll come back to you later on that one. I'll come back to you. Okay. No, thank you. I also want to add to the voice of my colleagues as to welcome the report and the presentations that have been given as the select committee and the clarity on certain specific issues that have put before the select committee. Nonetheless, in my prefacing remarks, I'm happy that Honorable Mpambuswana actually did make a follow-up on those issues. Much as we are looking at an annual report, I'm a parent. When children are affected out there in a manner that they are affected, I want to know what the department is doing about that. And when you made your opening remarks, did you carefully decided to concentrate only on the issue of the state of readiness for examination and did not want to comment on any other issue that I raised? I want to believe that before the end of the committee, you are going to be able to comment on those, or at least some of your officials, because I think it is very, very important for us to know what is actually happening. Those are our children. We are parents. And we are educators. We are really concerned about it. It's an issue that every parent is worried about. When you take your child to school these days, you're never sure what's going to happen by the end of the day when the child comes back. So it was not a peripheral issue. Let me start with the financial issues. Well, it is said that the financial statements submitted for auditing were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework and supported by full and proper records as required by Section 41A and B of the FMA. Why is it that the department is failing to use a prescribed format in terms of that section of the PFMA? Why should that be the case? Because I think we are employing qualified professionals to do the job. And secondly, what is a worry to me as CFO is point number 36 on page 242 of the annual report. Oversight and monitoring over financial and performance reporting of infrastructure projects was inadequate. Why was oversight inadequate? We understand that in some of the provinces we've got a challenge, or the department has got a challenge of lack of expertise when it comes to the area of infrastructure development. Why is there no adequate monitoring in that regard? And point number 40 in the same page, 242, internal audit was not fully involved. What is the strength of your internal audit in the review and monitoring of financial performance and information? Why is it that the internal audit of the department is failing to conduct their duties and responsibilities?
And also your expenditure, fruitless expenditure, it's too much. The figure is too high. Irregular expenditure, the figure is too high. It needs to be brought down. I don't know why is it that people do not comply with the necessary regulations. And I think the heads of branches concerned really should answer for that one. If your branch is not compliant with the necessary regulations, what does the branch head do in that regard in terms of consequence management? Let me go back to the issues of your presentation, Monsu. Are you director in the office of the DG?
Yes, director. I was planning on putting it in the branch of the office of the DG.
Oh, okay. Monsu, I was not happy with the issue of acidity, the report that you gave us. There was a contradiction. I couldn't reconcile the end of your presentation in respect of what you had said earlier on with respect of ACIDI, the schools, the number of schools that were big, you built. The figure was much higher towards the end of your presentation as compared to what you said earlier on. The issue of electricity, the issue of water, and particularly the issue of sanitation. When you walk around conducting oversight, there are many schools that are suffering, have got a challenge of sanitation. So can you please reconcile the two? I got a bit confused in that regard. The issue of contractors that are not doing work according to required standards and specifications. Who conducts due diligence of the contractors that are appointed or implementing agents? Because they cause delays. You have got to contract them or you've got to employ them. Even before the project starts or midway, you have to expel them and advertise again. There's a lot of time lapse. Who is checking on their capabilities and their track record? Because they are the great cause of delay. Even before you actually appoint them, do you conduct due diligence in terms of ensuring that they are going to do the job that they are required to do? That was one issue that I picked up in terms of ACIDI. And then on the issues of deviation, positive deviation, negative deviation, no deviation, it would appear to me that you have mastered the art of planning, even as you plan your APT, to ensure that at the end of the day, you are going to get more positive deviations. The negative deviations. I get the sense that there is that kind of a approach or manipulation. Will you please explain to us whether this report is a true reflection of what the department has actually achieved in relation to what we pick up when we conduct oversight on the ground? We are not going to say that all is bad. You are doing a great deal of good work. But there has to be a correlation between what we find on the ground and what is actually happening in the department. For instance, the deliverer of textbooks went to the Eastern Cape. I've forgotten the name of the school, Mpambos Pawana, where the grade 12 did not have textbooks. But when we came back here, the report was that textbooks had been delivered in all schools. So now one does get confused when you say you've delivered 100%, we go there, we check on quality, the quality is not in terms of the specification, it might have been delivered 100%, LTSM, but the quality and the specification is not what would have been expected. So those are the issues that we are raising, as to say that the report should be a true reflection of what is actually happening on the ground. I was reading a paragraph, DG, here on your sports and
enrichment.
Sports
and enrichment.
Yes, sports and enrichment. I didn't read a single sentence on sports. But the caption is sports and enrichment. And I wanted to go back to the DG. At some stage, we called in the DG for sport and the DG for education. And wanted to know the relationship between the two of you. He said, you must fight if you want to. But at the end of the day, we want you to reach agreement in a manner that is going to take us all forward and conclude your MOUs and whatever it is. So I want to know what the progress is in that regard. I know that you argued very vehemently to say that your core business is teaching and learning, all the other issues. But it is still important for children to get to exercise and to get involved in sport. State of readiness, also in light of the recent storm, when I asked about the state of readiness, I also wanted to get an idea. There has been a recent storm in KZN that actually affected 145 schools. I also wanted to know if that storm did not disturb the setup for students to write their examinations properly. I also wanted to know in that regard, and I don't know what you're going to do teaching next day to get the money to fix those schools. I don't know where you get the money to fix the schools in KZN that has been affected by the storm. They need to be fixed. It's not part of this report, it will be for next day, but I just wanted to touch on that as well. Most of the issues have been covered by my colleagues, and explain to us this issue of Karikude. At some stage I heard higher education said it should be falling within their purview. It is still with you, it is a mess. What is the purpose? Is it not to skill the people that are not literate or semi-literate? Magnena no grade 12, nobody, they end up not really understanding what is actually happening. Let me stop there for now and hand over to the department to answer. I know that there are too many questions. I don't know whether it's because the other colleagues are not here. Maybe it is an advantage for some of us not to be there because we get space to ask a lot of questions. Honorable Mpambo, one speech before we hand over to the department.
I want a last speech. A last speech is what has been, I want to add on what has been said by Honorable Lamin on with regard to scholar support. When we went to taking Parliament to the people at Lady Frey and SMA, we had a recommendation on the report that came to you, that you still remember, Honorable Lamin, that you went to a school that had a bridge, SMA Primary, that had a bridge, and we recommended on the report that basic education should work hand in hand with the Department of Transport to fix the roads, and this is applicable to the whole Eastern Cape, but we were specifically assigned to go to Lady Frey in Tembe, and we recommended on the report that based on that report, because it affects the subject advisors, it affects the learners not going to school, and the absentee rate varies from time to time and it escalates. What efforts have you made as a department this far in October in trying to follow the recommendation of the roads? Because it's an addition to where they get scholar transport. They have to walk long distances and face security I want to know, based on the recommendation that was on the report, what have you made this far in trying to follow suit in terms of DJ? Well, what have you made? What have you made to try and solve the problem? I know it's not going to be solved overnight, but what have you made? One. Number two, based on its route, the Eastern Cape, which also there's a doubt in case it has a doubt in the Western Cape. Based on its route, I'm sure it affects nutrition. Call. What have you made on its route? Any that it shouldn't affect nutrition if you're not abandoned is going. What have you made in that case in regard with its route to assist the mothers who cook because they need water and the scarcity of water to make sure that the smooth running of nutrition abandoned is going as it can take.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I can see that you did have a field day. Honorable Members ask an average of 10 questions, then choose that it's a field day. Chair, whilst I appreciate all the questions and comments raised, let me start first by saying these questions and comments that you raise with us help us a lot to improve our performance, to keep us on our toes, and to make sure that we do things better all the time. So when we improve, although people would say the department, you must count yourselves in as well, because the oversight function that you play contributes a lot in improving our performance. But I also want to make a recommendation that some of the relevant and legitimate questions that you are asking can be best responded to when we are with provinces. You see, we last time appeared with you with Eastern Cape, and some of the questions would have been well responded to, because well, I'm not exonerating ourselves. We are jointly responsible in making sure that we monitor that they do what you expect them to do. But that's my recommendation. In the Basic Education Portfolio Committee, we have something that we called a Monkey Valley arrangement, where they convene a workshop involving provincial departments plus DBE, and they put us under one roof, and they would say, we want you to give us an update and feedback on these things. I can't say, no, I have to go back to a problem. All of us are under one roof. So I'm just, it's a recommendation in future that you might want to consider. I'm going to respond to some of the questions. As I said, we have a full complement of senior management. So we'll deal with all the questions. Dr. Mabuya will explain the issue of the 10 languages as against 12. Sign language is the 12, and that's how we're dealing with it. And by the way, we've also developed a curriculum of South African Sign Language as a subject, not only as a language of communication, as the language of learning and teaching. You now have a national curriculum statement for South African Sign Language. We developed that. I think we finished that work in 2013 when the minister declared 2013 as the year of inclusive education. For the first time, this country has got a curriculum for South African Sign Language. All the time, it's been Fanakalo. What you saw one time during the memorial service of Ubabu Mandela was the effect of different codes that were used in South Africa. Now you can use one code of South African Sign Language, which is formal. And the department has developed that. So Dr. Mabuya will just explain the notion of 10 vis-a-vis 12. We're trying to treat all languages equitably, not equally, equitably, because they are at different levels.
Mm.
Some you have to bring them at the level that the others are in, and even support them more than others. I'm responding to Honorable Hartin's questions and comments. The annual report, Honorable Hartin will improve. But I thought we are woefully truthful. Maybe we are not detailed in terms of our challenges. In future, we might have to do that as part of scanning the environment and say we have to deliver within. In the past, we used to do that as part of our report. So these are the challenges which must be taken into account, which inform the terrain within which we have to deliver. But we have honestly reported on our weaknesses and our achievements. Where we've not achieved, we've not sugarcoated. We've said, against this target, we've not achieved. Because we know that if we hide it from you, the AG will give it to you. Remember, they audit us not only based on the financial statement, but on performance information as well. So if we hide it from you, you'll get it. Before we come here, you would have it. So it's in the report. It's in there. We've not decided to hide it from you. But we'll improve. We'll also put challenges so that it gives a very good balance, that life is not just a downward stream. There are also challenges. So we'll put it in there, Honorable Hartin. Material misstatements, Your reading is correct, but to the best of my understanding, they were subsequently corrected, the misstatements, but it was after the financial statements were handed over to the AGSA, and the AGSA can attest to that. We would prefer that we hand over financial statements that do not have misstatements.
Mm-hmm.
But if you speak to the CFO, CFO will also tell you that she's a relay. She depends on information that comes from...
I quoted. I'm not referring to financial statements. I read it again. Identified
material
statements in the annual performance.
Please address him through the chairperson.
Okay, I just want to say, I'm not talking about financial misstatements. That is in there as well. But what I refer to specifically is material misstatements in the annual performance report, which was not corrected. Not financial misstatements. That is there as well. So now, Mr. Mweli is going off on financial statements. I'm talking about what we want to know, and this is about the performance report, and specifically on the two crucial programs, 2 and 4.
Okay. No, that's fine. We'll respond to that, Chair. Well, I also want to at least accept that I differ slightly with you. And I'll tell you why you have to accept that I should differ with you. 99% I would accept that the AG is right. And I accept the rule that you follow. But I'm going to prove to you that at some point we have proven the AG wrong. But in the majority of instances, that's why I'm saying 99%, the AG would be right. Let me give an example. The 44 million in 2015-2016 financial year was reported as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is the explanation that the CFO gave. I had to go and explain on that to SCOPA as well. Now, at that point, I even told SCOPA that I do not believe that that amount, all of it constitutes fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But at that point in time, I couldn't produce an alternative figure that we could agree upon with the AG and accepted the finding of the AG. You know, unlike other departments where even you know, the findings of the AG are rejected to the extent that the audit report is not issued. I don't know that. It does not occur in our vocabulary. Even if we differ with the AG, we accept what they are giving us at that point in time. And then we got an outside company so that they don't say we manipulated the figures. And I remember Honorable Smith at Scopa said to me, if it's discovered that the findings of that company concurs with the findings of the AG, that money is going to be paid from your salary. I accepted that because I strongly believe that we were right. And lo and behold, the outcomes of a company that did a forensic investigation came out that only 1.2 million out of 44 million was irregular, which report was accepted by the AG. And this is what the AG said, that this company had ample opportunity and resources to do an extensive investigation, that the one that would do. We are time bound. We had to look at the scope of the work that we had to do. We couldn't go to the depth that that company would be able to get into, which is human, and it's acceptable. In the nature of human beings, we make mistakes. And that's how the AG, you know, accepted the research findings. I'm therefore saying, accepting what you say, that the rule is that the AG is always right. And I'm saying, please, I accept what you are saying, but I accept it with caution.
A pinch of salt.
That there are instances, because they are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They are human beings, just like all of us, they can make mistakes. And in, I said, 99% of cases they are right. But please take note of the 1%, because the 1% can be quite substantial at times. So I hope you'll accept next time when I say we accept what the AG is saying, but there's a different you know, outcome you know, at some point. Recurring findings. Some of the recurring findings, Chair, responding to Honorable Harding, remember that some of the contracts are multi-year contracts. Until the contract is completed, if something went wrong in the first year of implementation, until the contract is completed, it has to be whatever expenditure that goes towards that project adds to any regular expenditure. And that's how some of these things come out as recurring findings. They do not necessarily suggest that these are new what offenses, or these are new areas where people do not comply. And if you deal with infrastructure, that's what you are dealing with. Because some of the projects are delayed, you know, for a year, for 2 years, and then if something went wrong, it will keep on coming until you complete the project. Investigations and no action, maybe what I could do could be to share with your committee, Chair, from some of the actions that you have taken, which I have done with SCOPA as well. They said consequence management, then we provided a record of the actions. We are open, even if you could say to us, your action is not harsh enough. Would relook at the actions that you would have taken. By the way, we've gone to the extent of reporting some of these matters to law enforcement agencies. We've gone to Hawks. We've gone to SAPS. We've gone to Asset and Forfeiture Unit. We are on a regular basis almost pushing them that you've got to move, because we are reporting to oversight structures of government. And I knew that when I appear before you, you'll ask me about these things. But unfortunately, I don't arrest people. When I've reported to law enforcement agencies and I'm able to, you know, give evidence of the record that I've followed up for these people to move, and they're not moving as fast as I would love them to move. If I had the authority to arrest, I would be coming to you and say I've arrested so many people. But they will also tell you that there's a procedure that they have to follow. These are the things that they have to do. But I can give you a record of what we have done, where some activities are of criminality in nature. We have reported all of them. And apart from that, there's a team established in the department to investigate all irregular expenditure, all fruitless expenditure, not only of the year under review, Honorable Chair and Honorable Hatip. We are even looking at history. We've just completed projects which related to 2015-2016. Yeah. And some of it even stretched beyond that. The team is now ready with the 2016-17 and they'll get into 17 as we move to 17-18, also do the same thing. That team involves internal audit, it involves the office of the CFO, it involves legal services, it involves labor relations. Those are the people who are part of that team. Every fruitless and wasteful expenditure, any regular, is investigated. So that before we write even to Treasury and say, could you consider a condonation, that report serves and is considered, and we take everything from there. So I've spoken to consequence management. Under expenditure of plus minus 900 million, the bulk of it, honorable members, is from infrastructure. And I can say it now, and my colleagues can bear me out. We could have easily spent that money without following the law. We could. But I was warned several times by your committees, including SCOPA, that I dare not come back on something that has not fully followed the PSLA. And unfortunately, part of it relates to capacity of contractors and implementing agents. And I must be woefully truthful with you. One of the experiences that we are going through in basic education is that we don't have the requisite capacity in the built environment to take on the investment that government is making in this country. I want to make that bold statement. We don't have the requisite capacity.
You don't.
We have to babysit IDT. When we should be spending time on teaching and learning, please know next time when the results drop, I'll tell you that. You said to me I must spend infrastructure money. I spend time babysitting implementing agents. When we are supposed to be spending money on supporting provinces to improve their results. And remember that IDT is an entity created by government, and it's reporting to Public Works, but we had to come in, bring in other implementing agents and say to them, can you please help to resuscitate IDT? We took more than 20 projects from IDT because they could not perform. More than 20 projects. Water and school building projects. We had to take them over, reallocate them to DBSA and KUHA. And it takes time because it involves legal processes. It could take more than a year, right? The easiest thing to do, if you ask me, it was my father's company, I could have just gone for companies that I know that they perform and just allocated those projects to them. Now in government, you've got to follow a process. You can't do it that way. So those are some of the challenges associated with under expenditure of 900 million, 800 of that which relates to infrastructure. Honorable Pambo Subukwana, retrieval of 85%. Well, unfortunately, you do have that. I so wish that we could be at 100%. Now, because of that, and the point that you've raised, it's so crucial. It means that taxpayers' money is getting wasted, and the quantum of that is 15%. Now, what happens is that schools would charge a certain fee if you lose a book. But if you ask me as to where that money ends, it does not even come back to the fiscus. But we also remember that we also order what is called top-up. Top-up is used to remediate retriever, to remediate retriever. Where retrieval is not 100%, you use your top-up to bring it in there. So I could put you at ease a little bit to say that this should not affect, you know, the admission and the registration of learners, because we do top up on an ongoing basis. Albert Kuma, I could give you a report here, but what I want to humbly request is that we must forward you a comprehensive written report. The MEC has intervened in A.B. Kuma, A.B. Kuma Primary School. The senior management has been moved from that school, not dismissed, moved, because you again need to follow a process before you remove people. A new security company has been brought in there, and security facilities have been also installed, like cameras and so on. But the sad story, which is what somebody said to me, is that, are you doing that in all schools? If you ask me, no. It's only done in that school because of what happened then. If we don't do it also, you say, why didn't you do it? But we don't even have money. I mean, Gauteng sooner or later is going to get into the same situation as Free State, which is cash-strapped, and other provinces like KZN that are experiencing financial problems. Because of the way they are responding to situations also. Now they have to spend money. They didn't budget for that. There's no money for that. But they've got to do it. So that's what they have done. They were also in the process of taking learners through counseling and other psychological services like testing and so on. You would have seen some of the parents complaining that they were promised this and this did not happen, and the province responded and said, we've got a structure that we have put in place. All parents must work through that structure that we have put in place. And I hope that communication has reached the affected parents. But maybe, Chair, what we could do could be to send you a comprehensive report, of which would cover day one of the incident up to the latest. That we will do. A report on school safety in the country has been emailed to you. I checked it here. The secretariat has received it, and that's why I said, including the report on school readiness, it has also been emailed to you. It should include the report on Buwani as well. Because when we did a presentation on the state of readiness for the NSC, we also presented on Buwani. But I must also say that for KZN, I think Mr. Parayaki could maybe also come in and enlighten us. Uma Lucy also requested for a report. But the good thing is that with exams, you get reports every day of the happenings of every day. And it looks like even the 140-something schools, Chair, have been writing exams. So I think you've raised an important point of, are we getting ready for the reopening of schools as well? We'll also get you that comprehensive report from the province and forward it to you. Who appoints security personnel? It depends who pays them. If it's government paying them, is the school management team working with the district to appoint them? The information at our disposal seem to indicate that the vetting was done. But there's something called I'm not sure it's the child offenders register or something, where pedophiles are captured. It looks that register is kept by the Department of Justice. It looks like that register is not regularly updated. Not all the pedophiles that have been reported appear on that register. So that's the difficulty that we have at the moment. And I'm sure the Kumar incident has shook all of us. I'll be taking a discussion with the DG of the Department of Justice to look at what we can do about that. I don't want to underplay what happened there, but at the same time I want to plead with you. It's not a reflection of what happens in the sum total of our schools. Please, let's remember that. Which is what I also said to the portfolio committee, that some of the deaths that are happening in our schools, including the Western Cape, I also don't want to underplay that. But if you go to the US, in some of the schools you experience mass killings where over 10 people are getting shot at once. And I'm not downplaying what's happening in this country. And I'm saying what has happened is one or two incidents too many, but let's still remember that there's still some semblance of sanity in the system and security. And then the other one on versioning to South African Sign Language, the NCF, Dr. Mabuya will respond to that. How many math schools do we have in the Eastern Cape? I don't know. I'm sure Mr. Mafuku can give us the exact figure. When I worked in the Eastern Cape, it was 400 plus schools. That they escalated to 600, it's a new figure altogether. But I'm sure Mr. Mafuku, the initial figure was 400 and something. So he'll confirm that. Working with the Department of Transport to fix roads, I'm not sure whether Ms. Kiobeka maybe can also help us there, because we did get some update report from the Eastern Cape, which we presented to your committee, Honorable Chair. So maybe we could be able to pull out something from there. Mitigating the impact of drought on the provision of NSNP, we did approach Treasury, and I think the matter was brought to our attention by the Western Cape Department of Education. So Treasury did make some good by increasing the allocation for NSNP. Dr. Whittle can just add there. I've spoken to the arrest of people that we've done what we needed to do. When will vacancies be filled? Honourable members, remember that we are in a period of budget cuts. We do have substantive vacant posts. Some of them won't be filled because the our personnel is actually overheating, especially in this current financial year. And the situation might be slightly better in the next financial year. So I humbly submit, Honourable Chair, through you, Honorable Sebokoana, that I might not be able to give you the exact date because of the budget cuts. I'm sure we know what's coming out of the Indian budget policy statement. The whole country should know. The state of readiness in Bwane, I've said, will also submit that report. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure is now 11 million. Yeah, 11 million. Yeah. And the reason for that is because there were learners who were not supposed to have been part, in fact, of the database of learners of CARICUS, part of the fraudulent activities. Remember, and maybe let me also at the same time, Chair, respond to your question. The purpose of CARICUS is adult basic literacy and numeracy, which means that you are teaching or training adults to be able to read
and write.
Mm. That's the purpose. Then you've got the IED part of it, which is the education and training of adults, which is in the Department of Higher Education and Training. Mm. Now, this program had a specific time frame, Honorable Kami. And I know you feel very strong that we must bring it back. How I wish that you could fight our battle with Treasury. And Treasury has been saying to us it was planned for 5 years. It got extended. It started in 2008. It was expected that after 5 years we should be done. It went well over its time frame. And that's why, in fact, the minister is of the view that in some area, because we are not getting learners any longer, people became creative. And by the way, these fraudulent activities, some of them went to the undertakers, and they took the name of the deceased people, put them in as learners, and some of them went to municipalities and got onto the voters' roll. The voters' rolls are there in municipalities, and they took the names and put them as learners. And these are the issues that we are pursuing with HOCS and SAPS and the Asset and Forfeiture Unit. We've been able to recover 5 million out of the 11 million. Touchwood, we hope, we're looking for recovering more. And even attaching property to make sure that we recover even more. Thank you, Honorable Dlamini, for your appreciation and thanks. It doesn't always come. It comes very rare. We only know, you know, the only thing that we come is to be battered all the time. The location of strategic planning. Strategic planning is still under a branch in the Office of the Director General, ODG. It's headed by a DDG as part of other functions. So that's how it's located. In the office of the DG, headed by a DDG, and then you have a Chief Director for Strategic Planning, and then you even have a Director for Research, all of them report to her, plus a Director of Strategic Planning. But we'll keep reflecting on its investment, on its support, and even its location. The ECD practitioners, I'm sure Dr. Mabuya will talk to it, but the NCF, National Curriculum Framework, which covers 0 to 4 year old, has been developed together with, was jointly developed with UNICEF, and I think it should have been distributed to most schools. And again, because you'll soon go on recess, we can even send you a report that you are presenting on the 31st of this month to a joint portfolio committee of basic education and social development on ECD. It will give you even figures of how many people have been trained, the qualifications level, those with below grade 12 and those grade 12 and above, those with NQF level 5 and NQF level 6. It's in that presentation. That we could make available to your committee as well. I can see I'm creating a lot of work for Mr. Mahada to forward to your honorable committee. It includes even ECD centers. You'll see how many ECD centers are registered with the Department of Social Development. There is that information there. I've spoken to Karikude. Learner transport. I really accept and appreciate your observation, but again, we presented a report to the Basic Education Portfolio Committee on Learner Transport. what we've come across is that not all learners that are deserving are provided with learner transport. But there is a geometric improvement, you know, a nice progression, even within a financial year, from, in fact, all the 9 provinces, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Whittle, where they have to augment the allocation within a financial year. The medium-term budget policy statement will favor those learners. Because whether you like it or not, some of the provinces are forced. As learners pitched up into spots where buses are picking them up, they have to increase their allocation to service providers. And that information we could also provide to you. I think we had even shared what is allocated per province for the last 3 years, Mr. Mafuku, including this year. Yeah, and even share with you what the MTF looks like. So that information can also maybe be shared with your committee. It's fine. I've spoken to the 900 million under expenditure. Clean audit does not always tally with good performance. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Clean audit is good governance. Good governance does not equate to good performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that it means. Mm-hmm. Clean audit means you have adhered to policies and regulations that are there. But whether in terms of performance you really met, does not always. Yeah. Especially if it's your core business. Especially if it's your core business. Investigation which was done later, I explained that investigation was even, we had to do it and it was accepted by the AG. And the intention was not to really ridicule or to prove anything against the AG, was just to correct the record. Audit outcomes, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga and Free State. Maybe Mpumalanga and Free State. Remember that Eastern Cape comes from a disclaimer for many years.
Mm.
Now at least they are qualified. They need to move, and they are, you know, a Titanic like KZN. Getting them to, and I can see Mr. Harting is laughing, he knows that it's going to be an effort to really get them to unqualified.
Mm.
Really have to move mountains, given the size of their budget, the size of their personnel, the size of their enterprise. It's very easy for a small department to move to a clean audit.
Mm.
It's like improving even the grade 12 results.
Mm.
The smaller departments can go up quickly, but they can go down also quickly.
Mm.
The big departments take a while going up, they also take a while going down. So those are the difficulties that we have. And in Mpumalanga, there's in the main one thing, assets.
Mm.
They've been battling with accounting for their assets for the past 2 years. They used to be unqualified. They are now qualified because of assets, and they dropped because of that in the last 2 years. Honorable Chair, I've responded to the Puma Primary School. Financial statements did not comply with the prescribed format. I'm sure the CFO will respond to that. Why is there no oversight on infrastructure? Well, I must accept that there's been a weakness of leaving most of the work to implementing agents.
Mm-hmm.
But the logic is very simple. The implementing agents do that work on the behalf or on our behalf as the Department of Basic Education. And we have acknowledged that, we have accepted that finding from the AG that we have strengthened our monitoring. I'm meeting with implementing agents every month.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, Mr. Mafuku's line function meets with them before I meet with them. They also go out to also monitor. But historically, I will accept that most of the work was left to them. Internal audit, we have strengthened the internal audit. It used to be extremely weak. But I thought even in that report of the AG, they've acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the report of the AG, they've acknowledged that internal audit has checked up. But they had, I mean, the new people that we brought in to strengthen only had 3 months before the end of the financial year.
Mm.
We are expecting them to do more. They now have 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
I reminded the director when I had a review, I said, it's no longer 3 months, it's 12 months. We need to see the work of the full 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure of 2016-2017, it's lower than the irregular expenditure of 2015-2016. Slight improvement also because of the explanation given by the CFO, but I agree with you, we need to bring it down, Chair. We have to bring them. And we'll definitely do that, bring it down. Who conducts due diligence of contractors? In the case of implementing agents, is done by implementing agents. Now, what we have also done, in addition to that, is that they have to submit to the department for all projects, Mr. Mafuku, before they execute, to get the concurrence of the department. Because we can't rely on their systems any longer. We have to check it also ourselves. So those are the systems that we have brought in. The delay, you know, it's going to take longer, but that's the only way, you know, if we are to make sure that things are done appropriately. Deviations, Chair, I thought you painted it very well. It's both positive and negative. If they were only positive, I would agree that maybe there's some manipulation of planning. But if they are both negative and positive, that's what it should be. That's what it should be. Otherwise, if they are only positive, then you must be very suspicious of our planning. Delivery of LTSM quality, we picked up the issue of the calculators in the Eastern Cape, and we took it up with the Eastern Cape Department of Education, they had assured us that they are dealing with that matter. And your oversight comes in handy again, because sometimes you are told 100% delivery, but the quality is not the 100% quality. DBE and sports and recreation, it's an ongoing developing relationship. I think it will get better in future. I think it's getting better. We even had the DG bringing the provincial heads and his senior management team meeting with education provincial heads and all of us, Chair, to try and deal with issues that relate to the MOU. And I think the next stage will be to get the two ministers to meet, to sign the reviewed and strengthened MOU between the two departments. But we continue to work together.
Mm.
That's all that I can say. The first action was to get this meeting of all of us together, and we met in Bloemfontein to try and prepare for the meeting of the two ministers. I've spoken to the state of readiness of KZN to say that we'll also send you a comprehensive report. I've spoken to the purpose of Karikude. Maybe colleagues can come in and fill in.
Unless there are critical issues that they want to clarify, I want to believe that the responses that they've given were quite adequate, teaching. And we are left with about 3 minutes or so. Are there issues, honourable members, that you wanted responses on that are critical that you did not get responses on?
The language issue.
Yeah. The language issue. Okay.
Thanks, honourable chair and honourable members. On the issue of the rationing of the national curriculum framework for your 0 to 4 year olds. The report says that we have versioned that into 10 languages. So it was versioned from the original one, which was English. So originally, initially, it was written in English. Therefore, it was versioned into the other 10 languages. But to accommodate your deaf as well as your blind learners, when we did the training on the NCF, then teachers from your school's four, the deaf were also part of that because they can see. But then with the others who are in the schools for the blind, then we had to version that into Braille, which is what we are doing currently. We have actually accommodated that as part of the EU funding program. So we have a project that deals with the NCF training, and one of the deliverables is the versioning of the NCF into Braille. So that is happening. As to the distribution of NCF documents, that is ongoing because we depend on the number of registered centers. So as and when we get new registered centers, then we begin to do the distribution. But also as part of this EU program, we are going to distribute to about 23,000 centers, ECD centers, distributing the very same NCF documents and also putting them on CD. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have come to the end of our engagement. DG, let me take this opportunity to thank you and your colleagues for the fruitful engagement of the annual report. Believe you me, we acknowledge all the good that the department is doing to take South Africa forward by rolling out quality education. We are aware of the financial constraints that we have as a department, but we cherish a big hope for that eventually we are going to be getting more as a department in order for you to be able to render the service that is so critical. Quality education is not easy to roll out, but eventually we are going to reach there. There is one issue that you proposed where you said that maybe it would be proper or more fruitful to engage the department together with the provinces when we work on the annual report. I think I agree with you. I don't know, we'll see how we format it, whether we're going to be inviting all the provinces or it will only be those provinces that seem to be having more challenges than the others. We'll see how we format it, but to me, it does make a lot of sense. We've actually engaged your department in the presence of provinces in certain specific issues. The reports that you have promised that you'd forward to the committee, we're going to await those reports. And as soon as they come, the secretary will then relay them to the committee. ECD, I hope you are preparing. I read in the report that 2019, you are planning to change the landscape, but that goes together with the preparations of the practitioners.
Yeah.
When we had an engagement with DSD, they said that the currency of the certificates that are issued to some of the practitioners is not top quality. And we asked as to who is actually responsible for the training. I don't know which providers we are using for the training, or the training of practitioners is done in-house. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
But the preparations and ensuring that the conditions of employment, the salaries and everything that pertains to ECT, by 2019 there will be the expected level. I want to believe that the issue of ACID, you are going to be taking care of that, because there were protests in the Eastern Cape. I don't know, some of the protests are engineered by people that have got their own ulterior motives. We are quite aware of that. I had students over the radio protesting about mud schools and so on and so on. I said, but the deputy minister has always reported to the committee that you are building one school every month or every week in the Eastern Cape, and I couldn't understand what is happening. There will be those forces that are meant to derail the department and speak ill of the department. We are quite aware of that. But those issues that require your monitoring, your attention, we are banking our hopes on you as a department. You are quite capable. You are equal to the task. You and the response of the issues that we pick up when you conduct oversight. We really do appreciate that. We get the sense that you do attend to those issues, and we want to say, as a select committee, we really do appreciate. Some of them are short-term and some of them are long-term, we understand, but that you actually make a follow-up and attend to those issues is highly appreciated by the select committee. To all of you, I want to say thank you. You want to say thank you? Let us adjourn the meeting. We are going to see next time. It is necessary for you, for us to engage again. Thank you very much. Thank you.